Today on Real Radio.
There are a lot of sweet people who knock on the door of your house having been deceived by satanic powers and tell you that Jesus did not die for your sins. That is declaring the Lord in an unworthy manner. It is to deny the power of Christ to save you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We're in a series within a series that focuses on a section in the letter, chapter 11, where Paul deals with what was a serious issue at the time, unnecessary divisions among believers because of their station or their socioeconomic status in society, whether they were rich or poor. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a mini-series called, quite simply, Being a Believer.
And isn't that true, ladies and gentlemen, church family? Is that not true? We will eat again. Why? Because we eat and it satisfies them for a moment. But the Lord tells us that when you eat of the bread he gives, and you know who that bread is, that's none other than Jesus, you are satisfied forever. And that is a comfort to know that our existence is found in Christ. Do you know that? Do you know what it's like to have the satisfied soul of having eaten of his word and be calm and be soothed and be comforted? Have you come? Have you been? Look, I can tell you right now, there's been at least two times this week passed, since I've seen you last Sunday, where I had to go to the Word of God to get comfort for my soul and satisfaction, and it came. I could have eaten the biggest burrito or the biggest bowl of rice that any of you could have ever made, and I would not have been satisfied in my soul regarding my spiritual existence. And so the challenge right now is, do you have, and are you sure of, that you possess a spiritual existence? In John 6:33, Jesus says, "For the bread of God is he who has come down," that's the manna, "from heaven, and gives life to the world." Verse 35, John chapter 6, "And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." What an awesome word that is. In John chapter 6, verse 47, Jesus again says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." Ladies and gentlemen, the word means if you believe, now watch me, I got to arrange some furniture here for a moment. That word believes, you see this stool? That word believes, if you believe in Jesus, he who believes in me will never hunger. He who believes in me will have everlasting life. You see this? This is exactly what the word means. To walk up to Jesus, as it were, and to, listen, no longer having to go like this. Nope, don't even think about it. If you're a believer today, or you're becoming a believer, or you're thinking about Jesus, I understand that. But after a while, walking with Jesus, you know what? You just come on up and sit on down, and you talk to him, and you live your life. You get up every day, as it were, to sit down, resting on Christ. That's what it is to believe him, to go all the way through, to know, you know what? The heavens and the earth may shake, or the East Coast might have earthquakes and hurricanes, right? I will not be moved. Though the mountains be uprooted and cast into the sea, the Bible says, I will not be moved. Paul the Apostle said, concerning all of the threats against his life, remember Agabus said, whose belt does this belong to? Remember Agabus tied himself up in the book of Acts, and everybody points to Paul. That's Paul's belt. That's Paul's belt. And he says, I tell you, the man who owns his belt will go to Jerusalem, and he'll be captured. He'll be bound, and he'll be imprisoned. And now all the people began weeping and crying, and they tried to hold Paul back from going to Jerusalem. And Paul says, what are you doing weeping like this? And you could just see them. Paul, he just said you're going to get arrested if you go to Jerusalem. And Paul says, I'm ready to go to Jerusalem to be arrested. I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to do this thing. How can you act like that? How can you be like that? Because of that trust factor, of that rest upon Jesus. You know that you have the bread of life in your life, in your very blood, as it were. It's very exciting to know, very exciting to realize. So here we go. Church, that was point one and point two of last time's study. Now we come to the closing point. Don't think you're getting out of here early. It's just a closing point. It doesn't mean you're going to get out of here early. See, that's the shortest message I've ever heard you give. I'm just beginning to conclude now. Point number three in part two of this message is found in verses 27 to 34. About being a believer, it means that we remember our expectations. I love this. Listen, expectation's a big deal. Jot it down. Point three, it means that we remember our expectation. Every one of us have expectations. You can tell me you don't, and in 5 minutes, I can get you to say one. You have an expectation right now of a day that's ahead of you. What are you doing today? You're here at first service. Maybe you're going to the beach. I don't know. Maybe you're going to the mountains. I don't know. You have an expectation. I'm going to do this. I'm going to experience that, or I'm going to be looking for the other, or whatever it might be. I have an expectation. My expectation is that Jesus could come back any second. The Bible speaks about him returning in an hour that you do not know, unannounced. The Bible says we're to be ready. I'm ready. I'm waiting. I had somebody email me the other day, and they said, "We don't understand you." And I said, "Lisa, did you send me this email?" They said, "You're all motivated and you're all involved in being a culture warrior for Jesus in our culture. I thought you believed Jesus is coming back at any moment." I had to think about that for a minute. I believe in being a culture warrior for Christ. But this person views that commitment different than the commitment that Jesus could come back at any moment. Well, which one is it? Do you believe in changing the culture or being ready to meet Jesus? What do you think the answer to that is? Good answer. Both. That's how we change the culture, by being ready to meet Christ now. And you say, well, what if he doesn't come back for the next 50 years? Then my culture will be changed for the glory of God. What are you going to do with your culture? You going to sit on it and hatch it like an egg? What are you doing with it? You just waiting around for Jesus to return and you're not doing nothing? No, because Jesus could return today, I want to do something. Listen, we can't do everything, but we can do something. I have no respect for people who believe he's coming back and do nothing. I don't know. I don't get that. This is vitally important. We have expectations. Maybe you're unemployed and you have an expectation of getting hired. That expectation causes you to go from company to company, doesn't it? Handing out your resume, making phone calls, being ready to be hired. Expectations. Well, being a believer means that we have expectations. And number one, write this one down. I love it personally. Verses 27 and 29, we have an expectation of forgiveness, don't we? It says, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner. Listen, the word means not taking it seriously. A lot of people throughout generations have misunderstood this portion of Scripture. They have viewed it as, I'm a Christian, I love Jesus, but I'm not worthy enough to partake of communion together and break the bread. And it has been wrongly taught by sloppy students of the Bible. That's not what it says. There are no super saints in the family of God. There are those who are more mature than others, but they're all saved. If you're trusting in Jesus, like I sat on that stool, if you gave your heart to Jesus this last Wednesday night, or you gave your heart to Jesus 60 years ago, you're just as saved the day you cried out to him as you've lived this life. Just as saved. You may have grown in maturity. Hallelujah, thank God. That's called sanctification in this life. Praise the Lord for that. But understand this. When the Bible says that if you eat or drink of this cup and of this bread in an unworthy manner, it means that you take it in a lighthearted way. That you're goofing off about it. That you're living a life that is contrary to God's will. That's your life. You say you know Jesus. You say that you've been born again, that you belong to him. But your lifestyle betrays your word, what you say. The Bible says that that is a very grave thing. The Lord does not take that lightly. We have expectations as believers of forgiveness. Amen. But listen to the warning that he gives here. This is a grave and serious warning from the apostle. It's regarding the mockery of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that people would mock it, make fun of. You say, what does it mean to make fun of or mock the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, listen, it gives me no pleasure to tell you that there are a lot of sweet people who knock on the door of your house, and they're very, very well-groomed, sweet, polite people. And they will stand there, having been deceived by satanic powers, and tell you that Jesus did not die for your sins. That is declaring the Lord in an unworthy manner. It is to deny the power of Christ to save you. God is so serious about forgiving your sins. Think about us for a moment. We think for a moment that God's not willing to take our sins away, that somehow God is not happy to take our sins away. Did you know that God is delighted to take our sins away? The Bible says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Okay, that was a pathetic amen. We need to have an amen that's all right. Your sins are forgiven because God initiated salvation. You didn't dream it up. You didn't think it up. Jesus said that nobody can come to him but by the Father drawing him to you or drawing you to him. It's a tremendous thing. Now, again, a grave warning. He says that if someone were to take of communion, now we do that communion service every first Wednesday of the month. It's a sweet time. If you've never come and you're a Christian, you should come. If you're not a Christian, don't come. Or if you're not a Christian, you can come and watch. But it's for the true believer. And I'm not saying true believer based upon your performance. I'm asking you today, and Paul's going to ask you in a moment, to look inside, to judge your heart and your motives against the Word of God. And it is amazing, because it can surely be done, and we'll do it. He says there in verse 27, I will not hold that person. Look, in he says, of the bread and of the cup in an unworthy manner, will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord, to cast it away. This is a great place for you and I to pause right here, right now, and get real personal with self. Listen to this. Because of this warning, Paul is saying that a person who is not intimate with Jesus, this person is underestimating the power of God when they remember what the elements stand for, the bread and the cup. You remember last week, the bread and the cup from the upper room experience with Jesus himself to today is the bread and the cup. Paul says here that when you come together to break the bread and to drink of the cup, do you remember, it's not and it never has been and it never will be. It is impossible, according to the Bible, for that blood and for that bread to turn into the blood and the body of Jesus. Transubstantiation is not a biblical doctrine. It is an invented doctrine. And many of you have come from a church that teaches otherwise. I want you to know right now that that's not in the scripture. Jesus himself said so in John chapter 6. And you're going to need to choose right now between the traditions of men and the teachings of God. It matters. So if you have a pen and a paper, I'm going to ask you to jot it down or turn there, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, look at verses 4, 5, and 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4, 5, and 6. Very powerful portion of scripture, and we need to understand it. Can a Christian lose their salvation? Can a person not saved by the blood of Christ, make it to heaven? Listen, Hebrews 6, verse 4. Paul says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, illuminated, or informed of, having tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, you've seen, you've sensed the power of God, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, verses 4 and 5 should happen to any person that walks into a godly church. Honestly. Now watch what happens. If they fall away, apostasia, depart from, to renew them again to repentance, that means it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. Why? Since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. What is he saying? Number one, this is the book written to the Hebrews. And he's speaking about those, listen, who come into the presence of God's people. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you sensed some sort of awakening to the worship. My, this is precious worship. And there's young people and old people together in the sanctuary worshiping God. Hands are being raised. I feel something going on here. And then the demeanor of people, meeting one another. I sense that I'm safe here. Do you sense that you're safe here? Do you sense that you're okay? Do you sense that there's a bit of ability for you to relax? And then the words coming out. And you don't like everything that you're hearing, but you know that it's true. And you're having to confront it as this message has begun and as it continues. There's emotions that are going on, up and down. You like this part, you might even get a tear at this part, or you might laugh at the other part, but something's going on. It's alive. And you're judging this, you're discerning this. You're sensing the power, you're hearing the word of God, you know that there's something different. And for you to even say, I want Jesus in my life, not understanding what that means, I want this in my life. And then a day or two, a week or a year or 5 years goes by and you begin to say or think, you know what, I'm going to try something else now. Christianity was cool for a while, but now I'm going to try this instead. The word means that there's nothing left then for you to save you. If you walk away from that, there's nothing out there in Hinduism, Islam, or Buddhism, or Judaism that can save you. And what you're doing, you're going around looking for some sort of salvation, and by doing that, you're insulting the blood and the body of Christ. There's salvation nowhere else but through him. Very serious statement, very serious verse. The Bible says, if a person comes and doesn't eat, he only tastes of the salvation. He witnesses the power but never has the power. That person was never a Christian to begin with, church. Here's the grave warning today. If you've been born again, the Bible says you can never be unborn again. The question is, are you born again? You can be a, quote, listen, believer in Jesus, but never, watch, never come to faith, hope, trust in him. You never are at ease with him. And that may manifest itself in works, legalism, I don't know. Constant confessions to men. There's no victory in your life, no power. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, which I don't usually read from, but it's very graphic. Luke chapter 8, verse 11 says, this is the meaning of the parable of the sower and the seed. The seed is God's word. The seed that fell on the hard path represents those who hear the message, but then the devil comes and steals it away and prevents them from believing and being saved. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message with joy, but like young plants in poor soil, their roots don't go very deep. They believe, what's it say? They believe for a while. But they wilt when the hot winds of testing blow, hardship, difficulty. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and so they never grow in maturity. But the good soil represents honest, good-hearted people who hear God's message, cling to it, and listen, steadily produce an increasing harvest. Only you can judge you regarding this.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study that takes a look at the last section of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The title of the study today is, quite simply, Being a Believer. It's part of Paul's letter where he had to deal with unnecessary divisions among believers because of their socioeconomic status in society. In other words, how much money did they have? The title is simply Being a Believer, and it's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse examination of this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. All right, it's time for another segment of Ask Pastor Jack. You ready for this one?
Sure.
All right, this one comes from Daniel. Pastor Jack, he says, if a Christian in a very public position, a high profile, falls into sin, say has an affair, and because of that they have to leave the public ministry, would you speak to the issue of that person returning to the ministry? How do we as Christians view this? What guidelines can we see from the Bible about this particular issue?
Well, first of all, I want to say that you can ask five pastors this question and get 10 different opinions. I'm only going to speak from my angle, okay?
Okay.
There are sins that a minister can commit that, for example, it's between him and the Lord. It could be a thought. It could be an attitude. Those are things that are native to every Christian, and we deal with them every day. Then there are sins that, according to Scripture, a minister or a leader can commit in such a public way that they're disqualified from ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Paul the Apostle himself prayed that he would not commit some sort of a sin that would render him disqualified.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Bible tells us in 1 and 2 Timothy that when it comes to church leaders, our lives should be in such a way that it doesn't bring reproach, that it doesn't bring the ministry into question, that we should be able to command or lead our homes, our children, that we're a husband of one wife, for mm-hmm. example, that we know how to manage well. The whole point in ministry is that we should be able to have a standard by our living, our lifestyle, okay? Our ethos, our pathos is based on the logos. That is, our lifestyle and our passions are in line with the word.
Okay.
That rather than being a detriment, we are an asset to what God wants to do.
Right.
I'm not going to name any names, but there's a man that I know very well years ago, had a questionable situation.
Uh-huh.
He removed himself from ministry. He is in, I should say, from the pastoral ministry.
Uh-huh.
He made it clear to me, based upon my transgression, I will never pastor a church again.
Wow.
But I do see in Scripture my ability to speak to others.
Okay.
And thus he does, and thus he's been blessed.
Yeah.
That is wise. That's very wise. And so some people would rather, I'm sad to say, prostitute the ministry
mm-hmm.
and the standard and the holiness of it to get back up front.
Right.
And do some damage to the witness, even do some damage to the word,
yeah.
rather than leave it in the hands of the Lord and get a job in the world and shine for Jesus in that area. Ministry is a whole nother world. And I believe that we need to regain the integrity that should be attributed to ministry.
Hmm.
I think we've allowed too many things to be sloppy
yeah.
on the ends.
Gets a little cloudy.
Yeah. And so this, look, this is one reporter's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
This is my heart. Again, ask another pastor and you'll get another view on this.
If you have a question for Pastor Jack, send it to us. AskPastorJack@RealRadioactive.org. That's AskPastorJack@RealRadioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.